Amen. May the Lord depend on you. What a blessing. The Lord can depend on you, just like Job. He may bring you to a test if he can depend on you. If we look at things that way, what a blessing to be able to be depended on by the Lord, to be able to be put through a very strong test and come out faithful. Amen. This morning I want to just to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to just look at some things in the Corinthians. What the Corinthians. I was told, or asked, I guess, if I was talking with a man, and he said that I shared with him, trying to teach him, or just preaching about some of the things that the modern church has completely forsaken. And he kind of got a chuckled a little bit at the way I would believe that. And he said, but do you know the historical context from which this was taken? You've got to understand the historical context in Corinthians to understand what Paul meant whenever he was giving them instructions. And he went on to tell me about some of the customs of Corinth, supposedly. I don't know whether they're accurate or not. I've heard several different versions. But I thought about the historical context of the book of Corinthians. And I thought, well, why not just go to the book of Corinthians and see what the historical context of the book of Corinthians was. So I opened the Bible this morning and just started in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verse 17. It said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay. Several times in just these few verses, Paul was giving instructions that his teaching was not in worldly wisdom, but it was in the foolishness of preaching. So we can gather that because he was teaching these things to these people, that they were caught up in worldly wisdom. They were using the wisdom that the world had to offer to come to their conclusions of how they lived. But Paul said it's simply by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It's simply by preaching, teaching the Word of God. The church in Corinth was full of wisdom, worldly wisdom. They had ways of explaining what the Bible meant so that they didn't listen and didn't follow. What else did Church of Corinth have? Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Romans reminds us that we either walk after the flesh, and if we walk after the flesh, we'll die. But if we walk after the Spirit, we'll live. So what was the historical context of Corinth? They were proud and full of wisdom, and they were walking in carnality, walking after the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 gives us, or verse 5 basically gives us an account. Verse 1 and 2, it says, it is commonly reported, there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from you, among you. The church at Corinth didn't deal with sin. Teaches that they were puffed up. I believe that what it's saying here, as you read this verse and study it, they probably thought they were acting charitable, full of love, by allowing the sinful man in their congregation, allowing the sin to go on because they loved him. They didn't want to offend him. And so they allowed sin to be in the church. First Corinthians chapter 6, going to the law one with another, fighting among themselves, said, verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. Because you go to law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. They were fighting, going to law, defrauding one another. We hear often of churches suing each other over certain things. We have people that copyright messages, copyright their songs, and then sue people if they use them wrongly, or if they use them and print copies of them, or they record them or something without receiving pay for them. It's sinful. Yet, this was what was happening in Corinth. Chapter 7 talks about immorality again, about avoiding fornication. Must have been a problem there. Was a problem there. Paul talked about it explicitly, how to deal with it. He talked about the marriage. Verse 39 and 40, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Doesn't matter how he's treated her. She's bound to that man as long as he lives. And vice versa. Paul gave instructions. Why? Because that was a problem in the church of Corinth. People that were calling themselves Christians. And he called them out on it. Today the divorce rate, the way I understand it, is higher in the church than it is in the world. In the pulpit, it's equal to what the world is. It's over 50% of divorced and remarried people. Must have been a problem in Corinth. Chapter 8 deals with idolatry. Idolatrous practices. The man that was lecturing me about this had a Dallas Cowboys hat on his head. He was a cowboy fanatic. He was a football fanatic. A fanatic for their team. That's idolatrous. That's idolatry. That was going on in Corinth. Chapter 9. They were abusing the offerings. Chapter 9, Paul says in verse 17, verse 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. That was Paul's testimony to the Corinthians. Also in chapter 16, verse 2, a little more instruction here. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. They were gathering money for the poor, not for the preachers. They were gathering money for the poor. They were abusing the gospel in Corinth. They were making a profit. They were making gain. People were living off the gospel. That was a problem in Corinth. Chapter 11. Speaks about women having their hair all cut off, having bobbed hair, shaven heads. You look around at the churches, the church people, the older women in the church, I just notice you hardly ever even see shoulder length hair anymore on a woman. It's not the common practice, especially as they get older. Men having long hair, big long ponytails. The Bible says it's a shame, or Paul said, to the Corinthians, it was a shame for that to happen. Why did he tell them that? Because it was a problem in Corinth. It was happening in Corinth. This is the historical understanding, historical context of Corinth. The women were running around without coverings. Maybe they thought they had liberty. I don't know. But it was a problem there, because that's where Paul addressed that problem. The reason we don't hear about it in any other churches, wasn't a problem there. Paul wrote his letters to churches and encouraged them where they were doing right, and gave instructions to where they were doing wrong. Chapter 12 and 4 through 14. They were abusing the gifts. They were taking the gifts, claiming that they had gifts, and abusing them. One interesting thing, just reading a little in the early church, whenever a man came and produced a miracle, that's whenever he came under the close scrutiny of the church. They put him under a magnifying glass. Any man that came among them doing miracles, they put him under a magnifying glass, because they didn't want to be deceived And they didn't want him deceiving others by their supposed miraculous gifts. Today, someone comes along and does a miracle. People start following after him, worshiping him, sending him money. These were speaking in tongues, abusing. Paul gave the Corinthians not as a springboard to speak in tongues, but as a correction for it. Because it was being abused. It wasn't from God. They were practicing. I don't know if it was like it is today, what they were doing. But Corinthians 12 through 14 is not to where we could find a foundation for speaking in tongues. It was a correction for it. Chapter 14. During the time of Corinthians, they had a problem with the women. Verse 14 and verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He said, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. There was a problem. The women were out of order. They were leading out. They were teaching. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. You know, the feminists, as soon as you mention women, they just go ballistic. But in most contexts, that whenever God says something about women, and he talks about shame, for an example, we use the scripture where Jesus taught that it's, if whosoever marrieth her that is divorced committeth adultery, the women come running up, well, what about the man? Well, what about the man? I said, read it again and see who's guilty in this verse. Whoever marries her that is divorced, that is the man. They're so sensitive that you can't even say anything with woman in it without them getting all in an uproar. They're out of order. They're condemned by it. They're guilty by it. And it's actually condemning the man in that part of that verse. Woman's just as guilty, but it's calling the man who's taken another man's wife an adulterer in that particular place. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it's a shame to women for women to speak in the churches. Why is it a shame? Who's the shame belong to? The shame belongs to the men. The shame belongs to the man. They don't have the answers at home. This is a problem in the Corinthian church. What? Came the word of God out from you, Corinthians? Is God speaking his word through you, Corinthians? Or did it come to you only, Corinthians? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man will be ignorant, let him be ignorant. The women were out of order in Corinth. Say, well, that sounds just like today's church. That sounds just like the things that are going on today. Huh. I'm glad that was just for them. Paul wrote it to correct a corrupt church. That's why we still have it today, is to correct a corrupt church. What was the historical context of the church at Corinth? Just laid it out for you. That's where the church was at. Today, that's where the modern church is at. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are just for the Corinthians. No, these are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. First Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. What is anathema? Let him be damned. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Maranatha. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. That's the historical context for Corinthians. And it fits today. And that's the blessedness of the scriptures. That's why we find comfort in the Scriptures. We use them so that we can correct our lives. And not be condemned by them. People come up to us all the time and they condemn. They say, "Why do you have nothing but condemnation to those who are under condemnation, those who are going to be damned? The words of life that Christ offers are simply just, why are you condemning all these people?" I can tell in just a few seconds the way people look at the Scriptures, whether they're walking in the light or whether they're walking in darkness. Anyone who comes up and says, "Why are you condemning people?" They're walking in darkness, no matter how much Scripture they can quote or how big an experience they've had or whatever they may think they believe about Jesus. If they see condemnation in the life-giving words and commandments of our Lord, they're walking in darkness. Doesn't mean they can't hear and understand and turn to the light. But wherever they think they are right now, if they're rejecting the life-giving words of our Lord, the words of correction, they're walking in darkness even until now. When they reject commandments of the Lord, let them be damned. These are Paul's words. And Paul taught the commandments of the Lord. And the Lord had his blessings. Father, we again come before you and thank you for your word. Lord, the simplicity of it, Father, if we'll just simply trust and obey. Lord, help us not look for excuses, but look for opportunities to yield ourselves to you, to make ourselves more like you. Again, pray for our dear sister. Bless, Father, that you would encourage her and strengthen her, Father, to be faithful and loyal to you. Jesus' name.